So I've been sprucing up the podcast studio lately and have added some killer new decor. You've probably recognized some of this artist's work if you're in the outdoor space at all. Ryan Kirby's classic white-tailed deer prints, they've got this awesome vintage vibe that just works whether you're at home, your office, or even at hunt camp. One of my favorites is the growth and maturity of the white-tailed buck print. It captures the life cycle of the white-tailed buck as he matures from year to year. Not only does it look great, but it's also packed with info to help you age deer on the hoof. One cool thing about these prints is they've been approved by the National Deer Association, so you know that the info is spot on. Ryan Kirby's work is top-notch. I know you know the magazine Field & Stream. When they decided to go back to print, they reached out to Ryan to do the cover art of their first two issues back to print. Go check out his stuff at ryankirby.com, and my listeners can get a 10% discount by using the code CHECKOUT10 at checkout. Welcome to the Shepherd's Crook Podcast. This ministry exists to provide coaching, resources, and events for pastors and church members. My name is Jared Sparks. Join me as I talk pastoral ministry, applied theology like manhood and womanhood, political theology, and cultural analysis with a little bit of hunting and fishing thrown in. I'm a husband, a father, and a pastor, and I'm here to remind you of the chief pastor and our King, Jesus. Check, one, two. Hello and welcome back to the show. Hope you guys are doing well today. It's about 98 degrees here in Southern Illinois today, and we have very high humidity. So you step outside and your clothes immediately start to get soaked with sweat. That's the season that we're in. That is summertime in Southern Illinois. So I'm thankful for the air conditioning and really looking forward to the fall. Usually about June, early June, when it starts to get hot, I get ready for the fall. But we're trying to enjoy the season, and that means a lot of water stuff out in the backyard and trying to get to local lake beaches, that sort of thing, and just trying to have, you know, fun time trying to cool off. That's pretty much what we do in the summer. Well, I am back. We're going to be talking about the London Baptist Confession, chapter 27 on communion of the saints, but we're going to first talk about baby dedications. We just had 13 baby dedications at our church, and I wanted to explain how we do that, and it may be something that you might be interested in, because as you know, we're Baptist, we do baby dedications, but baby dedications aren't explicitly biblical. So we're going to just walk through what we do, where it's basically a family commitment, particularly from the father to raise their children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord, and the wife as the one flesh with her husband committing to do this as well. And then the congregation acknowledging the public confession or the public declaration of what the family's committing to do, and then them vowing back to the parents that they're going to help them uphold these vows. You know, in chapter 23, on vows and vow keeping, I said that on oaths and vows that I didn't think it should be in the confession, but it is practical. I didn't say that I disagreed with it or took exception to it, but just I didn't think it was in the best interest of the confessors to include that. But I am appealing back to that and saying that there is a biblical precedent for public vows and the recognition of them from the congregation, and then holding each other accountable to the things we confess, just for the basics of the confession of our faith, from our statement of faith, and then mutually encouraging one another, cattle prodding one another on into sanctification. So let's go ahead and pray, ask the Lord help, Lord's help here, and then we'll get into talking about those baby dedications. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this time. We thank you for the communion of the saints that we do have, and how well this topic of baby dedication goes with this chapter and thinking through what we have as the body of Christ, this great fellowship that you put together, brothers and sisters in Christ from different places and backgrounds, and here we are with one family. And so I thank you for my church family here in Southern Illinois. I thank you that I was gifted with this place and this people, and I thank you so much for my friends at our church, and I thank you for the people that are committed to helping me uphold the vows that I've committed publicly to you and to them. And I thank you for my wife and our children, and we just ask for blessing now in this time, and we just thank you for your grace to us. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. Our fourth child, we dedicated Oak Stonewall, and it was a special day. This is a week after I got to baptize Providence. We baptized Young, and I want to encourage that. I've talked a little bit about that in some episodes in the past, but Providence has confessed Christ as Lord at 4 years old, and we baptized her. And what we're looking for is supernaturally gifted faith. We're not looking for perfect understanding, but I'm not going to withhold baptism, or I'm not going to withhold confessing Christ as Lord from a young child until they understand all the ins and outs. And one of the reasons is because I'm still learning the ins and outs as an older man now walking with the Lord for a lot of years. I'm still learning and growing, and conversion, justification has never been about understanding everything exactly right. It's about the work of God on our behalf, God gifting us faith and us imperfectly repenting of our sins and trusting in Christ and being counted righteous in Him, and all of our sins being taken away. And so thank you, Jesus, for your work on our behalf. So we celebrate that. So I got to baptize Providence, and then we got to dedicate Oak. Why do we do baby dedications? And really what we're talking about here is family commitments that we make publicly, and then a public affirmation of those commitments by way of them confirming back to the congregation that they will help them or uphold those public vows by way of helping them keep them. And here's what we do. I have all the parents come forward, and then Andy is there by my side. He's got the certificate to hand to them afterwards, and I come to the parents. And what I do with each parent is I turn to the father and I ask, are you committed to raising your child in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord? And they are to respond back, yes. And then this is all done in the congregation, so everybody in the church is hearing this. The second question is, do you recognize the law of God as the rule of law in your home? I'm wanting the law of God to be the standard of ethics within our home, and I want them to publicly commit to saying, yes, we recognize we don't make the law of God the rule of law in our home. It just is, and they're recognizing that. They don't have power to make it. They just have power to recognize that the law of God is the rule of law in their home. And they publicly affirm, yes. Then I ask, number three, are you committed to proclaiming or teaching and sharing the gospel of Jesus in your home? That the gospel is centered, that you're not out of balance one way of the law or the other way of the gospel, but the law and the gospel both are preeminent in the home. Are you committed to sharing the gospel with your children in the home so they're not just raised up in an environment that understands the law of God, but they also come face to face with the solution to their problem when they learn the law of God? They're faced with this problem of recognizing that they're sinning, that they're separated from God. This is what Providence came to me and said. She said, Daddy, I'm separated from God. She'd been talking to Jordan, and Jordan said, Jared, Providence came to me talking to me about how she's separated from God. We need to talk to her. And so we at the church building worked through all that, and I asked her a series of questions, and she trusted in Christ. So it's not enough for me to just tell my daughter that she's separated from God. I want to tell her the solution and trust that the Holy Spirit is going to do a work in the lives of our children. And the gospel has to be made known to our family and loved. And so they answer back, yes. And then finally, will you keep your children in proximity to the local church? Will you require them to be here at the church around the people of God? And they answer back, yes. And here's generally what I expect around people who are around the law of God, who have parents that are training their children in the ways that they should go, and that are proclaiming the gospel of Jesus and are around the church all the time. And the peer pressure is just that normal atmosphere, which is the kingdom of God, where we set the standard of normal. That is the standard of normal in the way we exist in the world. And the way the world should work is the way life works within the church. At least that's how it should be. What is our expectation if you have all those criteria in the life of a person? Well, our expectation is that person is going to know the Lord. They're going to walk with the Lord. They're going to love God's law. They're going to love God's gospel. They're going to walk humbly before God and others. And that's what I want to train our people and expect our people to see, is that God is going to do a work in our children. We aren't promised the salvation of all of our children down in the generations. But what I want to encourage people with is to pray and expect that God is going to work as we raise our children the way God would have us. Then when they are old, they will not depart from it. And I want to see that. My main goal in life is to live this life honoring God and loving people and doing my work well. But what do we all want to see? I want to see my wife and children love Jesus. My wife loves the Lord. I want to see my children all know the Lord. And then I want to see my grandchildren one day know Christ. And apart from, yeah, I want to see God work in the lives of other people. Yes, I want to see the church be healthy, and I want to see that go beyond me. And I want to see multiple generations of the church be raised up and all of those good things. And my friends, I want to see their children as I've got to see them be baptized or baptize them, and now seeing them grow up and be discipled. And some of them are going to end up, you know, those young men are going to grow into men that are going to end up being my own elders, that are going to be my elders that I'm going to be submitting to one day or laboring alongside. I want to see all that. But more than anything in my life, I want to just through the work that God has given me in my home, I want to see God do work in my children and grandchildren. And already I've got to see that in our life. And it's just so awesome. At the end of this, I'll pray for that child and just ask blessing upon the work of the parents. And then we ask the Holy Spirit to do work in the child, to do what the parents can't do, what the congregation can't do, what I can't do, which is the Holy Spirit has to bring fire, to give to faith, to grant faith in accordance with the atonement of Christ and the eternal covenant that God had made before we were even born. So we're asking God to do a work before we were even created, asking God to do a work. And then what I do is I turn to the congregation and I ask them, are you committed to helping these parents raise these children in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord? Yes. Are you committed to helping them make the law of God or recognize the law of God as the rule of law in their home? Yes. Are you committed to helping them and encourage them to make the gospel of Jesus central in their home and proclaim it and tell it as often as they can? Yes. And are you committed to encouraging them to have their children with and in proximity to the people of God and not let them just do whatever they want to do, but have them connected here at the local church? Are you committed to doing these things for these parents? Yes. And then we pray to wrap everything up. That's how we do child dedications, which is basically like family covenants with the church and church covenant with the family. And in that way, we want to see multi-generational faithfulness. We have a church here in town, Cornerstone of the Reform, that's right down the road from us. And they're really about 20 years ahead of us, where they're getting to see the second generation, where we're in this first generation. We're just babies everywhere, raising our children, wanting and to see them love the Lord, grow up, maybe get married one day to, you know, a young lady in our church. And how great would that be if they all got married and stayed local, and then they started bringing their kids. And that's what their church, our church friends down the road have got to experience. And that's what we're hoping to experience long term. And boy, is it fun. So that falls right in line with chapter 27 on communion or of communion of the saints, where we have fellowship with one another. Let me just read it. We're just really in a short chapter. It's just two paragraphs. And we're almost done with this confession. I'm looking forward to the content that's going to be coming after this. I really just wanted to do this. I know that basically every podcaster in the Reformed Baptist world has done something like this. And that's okay. I don't care. I wanted to get this down because I know that my children one day, maybe my grandchildren, will listen to this stuff. And I know people within our church listen as well. And this can be a resource for them. So I wanted to get this down for them. And hopefully it's been helpful for you as well. If this has kind of been like a boring, you know, dragging on and on over the last year, sorry, got other content that's going to be coming as well. But let's go ahead and get into chapter 27. All saints that are united to Christ Jesus, their head, by his Spirit and faith, although they are not made thereby one person with him, have fellowship in his graces, sufferings, death, resurrection, and glory, and being united to one another in love, they have communion and rich in each other's gifts and graces, and are obliged to the performance of such duties, public and private, in an orderly way as to conduce to their mutual good, both in the inward and outward man. Oh my, because of what Christ has done, we have been, not just I have been, but we have been united to Christ. And although we are not made one person with Christ, in Christ, we have fellowship with each other. And then we all, as individuals, as a part of a whole, bring those gifts, and we're united to one another in this love and communion that's centered around Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit. We have gifts that we are obliged to give and perform to each other in both public and private. So in our public Lord's Day gatherings, we each play a part. And then in our private time as well, we play a part offering our gifts to one another, first and foremost to the church. And then anything after that to and beyond the church. But all this is to be done in order and for the mutual good. And this is just awesome. And hopefully you get this kind of opportunity in your church family where you get to experience these kinds of things where you love each other and you're experiencing that true unity, which is a wonderful thing. Paragraph 2. Saints by profession are bound to maintain a holy fellowship and communion in worship of God and in performing such other spiritual services as tend to their mutual edification, as also in relying in each other in inward and outward things according to their several abilities and necessities, which communion, according to the rule of the gospel, though especially to be exercised by them in relation to wherein they stand, whether their families or churches, yet as God offereth opportunity, is to be extended to all the household of faith, even all those who are in every place call upon the name of the Lord Jesus. Nevertheless, their communion one with another as saints doth not take away or infringe the title or property which each man hath in his goods or possession, propriety that each has with his goods or possession. So this is really helpful part of the confession, just outlining the basic ordered love that we should have in our life in Christ and in the body of Christ. It's just what I said to that first paragraph. Hold on, I'm blowing up here my phone. There we go. We order our life the way God has regulated our life to be ordered, and that's going to be primarily with family, church, and then extended beyond the church to beyond as God gives us opportunity. Well, this has been chapter 27, short chapter. Hope it's been helpful. And I'm a full subscriber. I hope you are as well. Hope you have a great rest of your day. Hey, what's going on? Yeah, how's Branson? Was it? Good, good. I'm glad to hear that.
Thanks again for listening to the Shepherd's Crypt podcast. For more information, you can go to theshepherdscrypt.co. Please consider leaving a rating or review on iTunes. And if you want to become a member of the Shepherd's Crypt, please message me and we'll get you on the list. We hope you have a great rest of your day.